Alan Redpath, a great man of God, he said this. He says, if you will pray in the time of victory, you will not have to plead in a time of defeat. That's a true word.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study of the Old Testament book of Joshua with the conclusion to the message, Achan's Sin. Now here's Pastor.
Because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Isn't that an odd way to do something? Not that I'm in any way saying what God was doing was not perfect, but when we look at it, I mean, look at the process here. God says, you know what? I'm going to call out the tribe. Then I'm going to call out the family. Then I'm going to call out the household. Then I'm going to get right down to the individuals. I wonder why God just didn't simply say, Joshua, it's Achan of the tribe of Judah. He's the one that took it. Why didn't he do that? Why was it this long, time-consuming process, if you will? You know what I believe in my heart? I really believe that God is a merciful God. And I believe that God is always, and he is always, and will always be a good God. And I think, you know, even though Achan did what he did, a disgraceful thing, he broke the covenant of God, that God was right here, I believe, giving Achan time, an opportunity, if you will, to repent, to get right with God. So Joshua, it says in verse 16, he rose early in the morning and he brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi or what was taken. And then he brought his household man by man, and here it comes, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. Now, you know what that tells me? You can't hide from God. No man, no person can hide from God. You know why? Because our God, he's more than just omniscient. He is omnipresent, isn't he? The omnipresence of God. Listen, it means that God is everywhere present. Everywhere. There's not a place where God isn't. Amen? He knows everything about everyone, everything that they're doing. It says in Jeremiah 23:24, God says, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I'm going to tell you, whenever God started picking out the tribes and it got down to Judah and so forth, do you think that maybe Achan, his knees started knocking a little bit? I mean, mine would. I mean, it must have been terrifying. And here's my question. Why didn't Achan just run out there immediately when they said the tribe of Judah and just say, you know what? You know, I'm going to repent. I'm going to fall on the mercy of God. And surely, had he done that, perhaps he would have been forgiven by God. But what troubles me is that Achan remained silent during the entire process until he was actually caught, selected by God. You know what's really tragic about this text? Is that there was a point in Achan's life where it became too late, where forgiveness could no longer be found. That's a tragic place to be, isn't it, loved one? And I say, oh, Lord. And now Joshua said to Achan, look how tender this is. He said, oh, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession to him and tell me now, what have you done? And do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, well, indeed, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. There's no sorrow there that I can see. There's no remorse. Matter of fact, the only thing that he's sorrowful about, I believe, is because he got caught. And look what he says, though, in verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, that's about 6.5 pounds, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, a little over a pound. Look what he did. I coveted them, and I took them, meaning took what was forbidden. And there they are, hidden in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. You know what is sad about all that? He says, I saw, I coveted, I took. Did Achan receive any benefit from what he saw, what he coveted, and what he took? No. You know what I've learned? I've learned that God will give me whatever I need in life. I don't have to look over and say, you know what, I wish I had that, or I wish I had this. You know, I told my wife the other day, there's a place that every morning when I drive in here to the office, because I love the country, I love the farm, I love cattle on the farm, you know what I mean? I love those red barns. I don't know if you like that, but I love that, okay? And every morning there's this one place that I have passed now for all these years that when I come here to the office. And I always say, oh, Lord, that's so beautiful. It's one of my favorite places to look at in the morning as I come in. And it was so weird. I'm sure I have, but to my knowledge, I'm not one to say, Lord, this is what I need for myself or pray for a car or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with praying for transportation. Amen. But I don't think in that direction. If I didn't have a car, I'd be saying, Lord, I need something. Hey, amen. But I just told him, I said, Lord, I said, before I go home, I said, you know how much I love that place. And I said, I just would like, before I go home, to be able to be out there one more time. Just to be out there, to walk the fields in the evening when you come in from the church. You understand what I'm saying? There's something, I know that sounds silly maybe, or maybe I'm being a little melancholy. I don't know what I am tonight. But the fact is, you know, you get home, you lean on the fence, you throw some feed out for the chickens. You know what I'm trying to say? You kick a pig and... There's something to be said about that, to watch the sun set and you see the birds flying and you're out in the middle of nothing. You understand what I mean? There's something to be said about that kind of peacefulness. And you know, it's what God was giving the children of Israel, that land flowing with milk and honey. Achan didn't have to covet anything. We don't have to covet anything. I have learned that God, when he gives us something, it's always more than what we ask him. It's always better than what we ask him for. And may I say something to you tonight? You don't need anyone but God. You don't need, you know, praise God that you have family. We all need family. We need friends. And all, but you don't need anyone but God. And if you have God, that is all you need. You don't have to play Holy Spirit with people. No, just you have God. You have Jesus as your Lord. You have the Holy Spirit who is in you and with you. We don't have a need when we have the Lord. We have everything. So I look and I say, oh God, you're so wonderful. You're so good. We don't have to do those things. You know, the Bible tells us there about what he did. I took, I saw, I coveted, and all the rest of it. It tells us in 1 John, you know the scripture as well as I do. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, meaning this world system under which God is excluded and Satan is in control, okay, the world system. He says, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen carefully. For all that is in the world, this world system, this Antichrist system that we live in, he says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, this is not of the Father, but it's of this world. And the world is passing away. Boy, it's temporary, isn't it? It's temporary. That's why we need to love one another now. That's why we need to forgive one another now. That's why if you have a problem in your marriage, get right now and get right with God. Amen? Amen. The world is passing away. It's going to be gone one day. It's temporary. He says, oh, but the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Boy, that's what we want to do. We don't have one need tonight, really. Not one need. All we have to do is go to God and say, oh God, this is my problem. God says, I'm big enough for it. Oh God, this is the problem I have in my marriage or whatever you want to call it. And God says, I'm big enough for that. I can handle it. Will you give it to me? I'll tell you, We don't need anything but God. I remember years ago, I don't know if you probably don't remember this, old boy, R.W. Shambach. You know what he used to say all the time? R.W. Shambach used to say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And that is a true word. That's all that we need is faith in God. But Bill, you don't know the circumstance. I don't look at the circumstance. I refuse to look at the circumstance. I'm not in denial about it, but I'm not going to look at it. I bypass that and go to the one who's greater than my circumstance. Amen? And that is my Father, which art in heaven. And that's exactly what this old boy should have done, and he didn't. Temptation is always a process. Look at it. I saw, I coveted, I took. You know, God never leads us into temptation. Never. He never does that. The Bible tells us that temptation is a process. It says in James 1:14, it says, but each one is tempted. Listen how he's tempted now. When he is drawn away. And listen how a person is drawn away. By his own desires. Craving maybe what he shouldn't or she shouldn't be craving. Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That word means the bait. It's the hook with the bait on it. And it hides the consequences of our sin. In other words, we'd never take the bait if we knew what the consequences were going to be. He says, James says, oh, he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, in other words, given birth, if you will, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. That's exactly what happened to Achan. And as we shall see. And so Joshua in verse 22, he sent messengers and they ran to the tent and there it was hidden in his tent. Oh, the silver was under it. And they took from them from the midst of the tent. They brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. That's a very important verse. It literally is saying they poured it out before the Lord, literally as returning what belonged unto him. And then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan. Remember, the word Achan means troubler. Took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold. They took it. In other words, it's defiled now. God can't use it. It's defiled. He took all of that, and then he took, look, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. That word means the valley of trouble, if you will. That's kind of like what's been in the news lately. My gosh, they just invade the people's apartment who had the Ebola virus, or they thought they had, and they completely removed everything. So everything that Achan had, everything. That's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, sin has consequences. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord. You know, Achan's wife, she's not mentioned, so I don't know what happened. Maybe he was a widower. I don't know. God says, no, you get the kids too. You bring all of the kids. You know, I think, well, surely if that's the case, then his children, all of his children had to be a part of doing this. Because see, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 24:16, it says, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. But evidently the kiddos, they were involved with their dad. So Achan's sin, not only did it cost Israel as a nation, but it cost Achan everything. The inheritance of the promised land, his family, 36 innocent people are now dead. Boy, sin is a costly thing, isn't it? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's not physical death. That's eternal separation from God forever and ever. See, sin pays. It has a payday. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Oh, and I'm so glad that, you know, a wage is something you can earn. But boy, a gift is something you don't have to earn. Aren't you glad that God saved you, that you're saved tonight? Amen. And look what happens in verse 25. And Joshua said to Achan, he said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them. Just not Achan, but all that he had, his family. They burned them with fire after they'd stoned them with stones. And then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from his fierce anger, and therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor, in other words, the Valley of Trouble, to this day. So that heap of stones is a warning to Israel, a warning about the horrible consequences of sin. And so Achan, look at how he was treated. He was treated like a Canaanite. They burned everything he had, just like they're going to do to Ai next chapter, like they did to Jericho. I mean, he turned away from God. He turned away from the living God, and he gave his heart to what was accursed. Now, let me make some applications as we prepare our heart tonight for communion. You know, remember this. We can never hide our sin from God, but our sin can be buried. Amen. Micah 7:19 says what? It tells us that God will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. In other words, hidden forever. Thank God that the Lord does that for us. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, it tells us that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103:11 says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Boy, is that a wonderful scripture? You heard me say a million times from this pulpit, you know, if you're going east, you'll never be going west, so therefore you cannot even calculate the distance. That's how far God has removed our sin from us. But it says in Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. Don't ever hide your sin from God. He knows what you're doing if you're sinning. Amen? He knows what you're thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows everything about us. He says, if you cover your sin, you're not going to prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Now, you know, whenever I think about what happened there with Achan's children and all that he had, we have to remember something. A lot of people say, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. That's not true. God is God. He never changes. God is love. Of course he's love. But in God's love is his justice. And, you know, we don't hear enough of that today. We don't like to hear about God's judgment. We don't want to read Acts chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira, how they brought and they said, oh, we're going to give this to the Lord, but they held back part of the land. And what did God do to them for lying unto him? They got zapped, man. It was over with for them. So listen, God in his love is also his justice. Every person that has ever been born, a believer or unbeliever, we're all going to give an account unto God. All of us. I think about that a lot, loved one. Well, Bill, you must have a depressing life. No, but I think about it. I'm going to give an account of everything. How I handled my stewardship here at Calvary, about what I've taught, my faithfulness in study, my faithfulness in prayer. Was I really a good pastor? Did I really love the people? You know, all of those things. Did I really care about my marriage, my children, the finances, the things that God has put in my life? I'm going to give an account for my life, and so are you. You know, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks to us and he says, you know, about being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He goes on, he talks about how we, when this old tent dies and we go home, this temporary flesh or whatever, it says we have a home in the heavens, amen, that God has put together for us there. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, he says, therefore, since all these things are happening, he says, therefore we make it our aim or our ambition, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, meaning to the Lord. I don't think that there is a greater ambition than that of finding out what pleases the Lord. Amen? Could there be anything greater than that? No, absolutely not. As far as we know, the opportunities for pleasing God only happens on earth, as far as we know. And so, you know what? While we have time, I encourage you to open up your Bibles and find out, like it says in Ephesians 5:10, find out what is pleasing unto the Lord. What pleases him? It says in Colossians 1:10, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. The only way to walk worthy of the Lord, remember, is equal in doctrine, equal in practice. You hear it and you do it, okay? So we walk worthy of the Lord. Here it is, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Why? Well, listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must, it is certain, there's absolutely no escape. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. One day we're all going to stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives. You know, I believe that that's why love never fails is the greatest scripture in the Bible. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? And when we walk in love, listen to me now, when we really walk in love, not just, you know, that ooey-gooey, sloppy, agape stuff. I mean, when we really walk in love, we fulfill all the law, don't we? It's fulfilled in one word. One word, love one another. And that's why when we talk about what we believe here at Calvary Fort Worth, that, you know, that we believe with all of our hearts, John 13, 34 and 35, where Jesus tells us, you know, he says, a new commandment I give unto thee, that you love one another as I've loved you. Boy, and is there anything greater than that? Jesus said, I want you to love one another now like I loved you. And he says, and by this all men will know that you are my disciples. You see, when we really walk in love, we don't have time to be bitter toward one another. We don't have time to pick on one another. We don't have time to be judging one another. Amen? No, we're the body of Christ. That's why the Bible says, don't lie one to another, since you are members one of another. No, we don't want to do that. Oh, and I say, oh God, you know I'm going to stand there and I'm going to give an account. And only believers, as you already know, are going to appear at that judgment seat, the Bema seat of Christ, a place of rewards. And when we get there, we know that we're not being judged because of our sins, because our sins were placed on our Lord. Amen? Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those or judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 5:24, we have passed from death into life, out of the judgment. Thank God for those things. However, we will be judged for what we have done for the Lord, how we've lived our life. And, you know, you can't pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. You know, a lot of Christians today, they may look cool on the outside, but maybe their inside is kind of messed up. And God says, no, you need to get right. And we have to look inside and make a judgment about ourselves and so forth. And, you know, when I start thinking about how Jesus is going to give an honest evaluation of our lives, you know, it makes me want to live right. Amen? But not because I have to, but because I get to, but because I love the Lord. I encourage you tonight to love people. Love people, no matter what. And you know, sometimes in the body of Christ, we all have anger, but if you have an anger problem, why don't you get rid of that anger problem? Give it to the one who's bigger than your anger. You know, anger is a work of the flesh. You don't need to be hanging out with stuff like that. You know, so one day, we're all going to stand before the Lord. Now, let me finish up now with my message tonight. Here's what's so tragic about Achan, is that Achan did not have to sin. Achan didn't have to covet. He didn't have to take what was forbidden of the accursed things. And let me just read it to you, okay? Joshua 8, the next chapter, verse 2. And God says this, and ye shall do to Ai and to its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Here it is. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Can you believe that? Listen, had he only waited. Matter of fact, if he had left alone the stuff in Jericho, he would have walked right into everything he could have ever imagined. Amen? See, we don't have to act hastily. We don't have to say, I want it now. We don't have to be a little kid. We say, oh, no. Lord, I just want what you want me to have. Now, next Wednesday, the Lord willing, we're going to look at chapter 8 on how to turn defeat in our lives, to turn our defeat into victory. Isn't God good? Amen.
Pastor Bill's study of Joshua will continue on Monday, and we'll look for you again. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Love Never Fails. Have a wonderful weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.